And we would like to distribute that quote to everyone today as a gift from us.
Parvati, would you do that, please?
And Parvati will need some help. Come in with the gift. Two of the men, please. And if someone could please first give it to our exalted uncles and aunties. And then we will quote, and Ekver Prabhu will read this meditation from His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And then we have a question from our panel members. Okay, can we please get some help? Couple of ladies and couple of Prabhu's couple of aunties. Thank you very much. We can do this very quickly. Also, if someone can check with His Holiness Bhakti Mark Swami, I know he's getting ready. So this is a gift. We'd like you to just meditate on this cover for briefly. This is the theme of our session at this part of our program. It's a theme of gratitude. It's a theme of our spiritual master being grateful to his spiritual master. And Ekavira Prabhu will read that meditation for all of you. Thank you. Does everybody have one? Yes? This is Kunti Devi. She's from Maryland. This is Ekadashi. She's from Alachua. The Prabhus, I'm not sure their names, but we're grateful that you're here helping us. Okay, Ekver Prabhu will share this meditation.
We're sharing meditation number 18 from the Baker Puri by His Holiness Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for arranging my rescue. My dear Eternal Father and Spiritual Master Srila Prabhupada, lately I have been reflecting more intensely on how fortunate I am and thousands of other souls on this planet are to have met you and personally served you, or to have been influenced by your glorious teaching. The guidance and encouragement you gave to so many of us is incomparable. I like to personalize my reflections, so lately I have been wondering what my fate might have been if you had not so gracefully come into my life. I am bursting with gratitude as I try to calculate what you've done for me. But above all, I thank you for arranging my rescue. If I had not met you, Srila Prabhupada, perhaps I would be a dean at a university somewhere, overseeing an institution that creates sophisticated animals. Each year, universities are becoming more and more degraded as they teach and campaign for relativism and massive data collecting. True morality, integrity, and ethics have become as rare in higher education as the perseverance of genuine wisdom. Students as well as professors know so much but understand so little. And like the lifestyles of four-legged animals, they live simply for refining the indulgences of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. When I try to calculate all that you have done for me, I am bursting with gratitude. But above all, Srila Prabhupada, I thank you for arranging my rescue. If I had not met you, perhaps I would be a politician, traveling the four corners of the earth to represent some sovereign political party or government, while actually just representing myself. Today's world is flooded with cheating politicians who speak and live lies as they smile at the public. Duplicity is their breakfast, exploitation is their lunch, and promiscuity is their dinner. Most politicians have poor character, and thus they lack true commitment to their constituents and lack the courage to be principle-centered. When I try to calculate all that you have done for me, I am overwhelmed with gratitude. But above all, Srila Prabhupada, I thank you for arranging my rescue. If I had not met you, your divine grace, I might have pursued a business career in corporate America. If so, I would probably be sitting somewhere in a plush, high-rise office building, slowly dying with no clue to the purpose of life. A premature death would be almost guaranteed for me, as every day I would be dying of stress, boredom, depression, and frustration while trying to get various promotions. I can also imagine how unhappy I would have been to have such a big family, that I would have to use almost every waking minute plotting how to make more money to provide for their material desires. I can reflect on how difficult it would be living in a big house, which would be like a prison with a high mortgage and security problems. I would be like a slave to that house and have to work night and day to pay for it and to keep the house in good condition. When I try to calculate all that your teachings have done for me, I am bursting with total gratitude. But above all, Srila Prabhupada, I thank you for arranging my rescue. If I had not met you, Srila Prabhupada, there is little doubt that I would have been a civil rights leader, totally absorbed in racial issues. Being relatively smart and sincere, eventually it would have occurred to me that almost everyone's rights are being exploited. This would have created even more confusion, as I am considering, should I fight for women's rights, animals' rights, employees' rights, veterans' rights, unborn children's rights, elderly people's rights, handicapped people's rights, or whose? But often, while different sovereign groups campaign to demand various rights, they are not truly concerned with the problems, needs, and rights of so many other people. More often, their demands of various rights overlook the universal duties and obligations we have as non-material entities. In this process of strategizing for one's material rights, one generally disregards his or her spiritual responsibilities, commitments, and obligations. Thus, when I try to calculate all that you have done for me, I am overwhelmed with gratitude. But above all, Srila Prabhupada, I have to thank you for arranging my lesson. If I had not met you, perhaps I would have been a leader or figurehead in a religious or psychic world, becoming more and more intoxicated by my own spheres of influence. If this were my lot, I'm sure I would have begun visibly pursuing mundane popularity and mystic powers while believing myself a savior. Although it may not have looked that way, surely I would have been using spirituality to acquire a material empire for myself and family, and using God for my own name and fame. Since this sort of adoration is very addictive, I'm sure I would not stop there. Rather, I would have begun using not only God, but also his church, his people, and watering down various teachings as leverage for my own worldly fame and recognition. While telling people about God, I would surely have become sectarian and fanatical in order to enhance my own power and prestige. When I try to calculate all that you have done for me and how you saved me, I am overwhelmed with loving gratitude. But above all, Srila Prabhupada, I thank you for arranging my rescue. Your grace alone has given me the rare opportunity to live most of my life as a celibate monk, to vigorously preach in this way to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not only have you introduced me to the absolute truth as a person, but you have also introduced me to other rare and exalted personalities, such as those in my presence today. My by giving me the association of so many wonderful God brothers and God sisters. If this were not enough, you have also exposed me to numerous projects, disciples, and preaching opportunities, awarding the most rare and treasured status of devotional service. How kind you have continually been to me year after year, Srila Prabhupada, even though I am so unworthy. If I and others can give up our false egos and develop more genuine compassion, we will be able to experience even more of the blessings that you want to shower upon each of us. So please continue to push us more now than ever before, so that we can quickly be awarded our full inheritance. You, dear Srila Prabhupada, have given us the sweet sublime science of bhakti yoga, the culture of pure, radiant, eternal love. I thank you so much for your causeless guidance, protection, compassion, and love. The gratitude I feel toward you cannot be described. Thank you so much for personally saving me. Surely, if you had not come along and saved me, I would be wandering in the material world for many more lifetimes.
Just that
become revived and refreshed in our appreciation for this quality of gratitude. We become what we associate with. If we associate our consciousness with ungrateful people, then we will forcibly become ungrateful. If we associate with grateful people, and we are eager to serve grateful people, and Krishna will take our desire for gratitude seriously and actually give us true gratitude. Srila Prabhupada's books are about gratitude. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, the gopis and the gopas, all of the acharyas, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's about how in every situation, success, failure, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, victory, defeat, danger, comfort, these devotees were always grateful to Krishna, grateful for everything. Any ordinary, mundane, egoistic person can be grateful for the things we like. But a Vaishnava is one who is not only grateful for the things we like, but even grateful for the challenges and the difficulties that come. That's actually how we make spiritual advancement. Srila Prabhupada, when he was on Jaladuta, his prayers were prayers of gratitude. And the spirit of gratitude is not only being thankful, but reciprocating. Gratitude means to reciprocate through service. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was grateful to Srila Prabhupada from the core of his heart for every situation. That gratitude was manifested in every situation by his willingness to reciprocate by serving Srila Prabhupada. Gratitude must be expressed to be real by doing the will of the Lord. And by associating with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's books, Prabhupada's books, and devotees who are really grateful, and praying for that gratitude, Krishna will bless us with gratitude. And when Krishna blesses us with genuine gratitude, Krishna gives himself to us completely.
So please take these guidelines into our hearts, because it's very rare that we can have these exalted devotees together in one place and we can hear from them. Thank you, Maharaj. I'm very grateful to you for many, 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 many things. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, many of you may not have seen Maharaj so often, or many of you may not physically know Maharaj. However, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is always very grateful to His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, because Bhakti Charu Maharaj has always been a protector of our beloved Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He has protected him in innumerable different kinds of situations. I've personally seen that. And what Maharaj has done for our beloved spiritual master, there are no words that we can say in gratitude to appreciate how he has committed himself in this mood of friendship to our Guruji. So there's so much to say about His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. However, throughout the day, I will be speaking about him. But one thing that is very important to the disciples of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is to remember in gratitude in your heart that the samadhi that we worship in Mayapur was an offering by His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj.
First of all, I'm feeling extremely grateful to all of you, especially the organizers of this wonderful festival, to give me this opportunity to come here and be with you all. And mostly remember my very wonderful godbrother, His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. Raghunath Maharaj at the beginning of his presentation just pointed out that the way to express our gratitude would be to read His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj's books. Maharaj presented his realizations in a most wonderful way for the benefit of all of us. And by reading his books and also by reading about him, we learn to appreciate how to be grateful. Because his entire life was a display of gratitude. This occasion actually gave me the opportunity to read the Black Lotus once again. And from the very beginning we see what an amazing personality he was. And I was recalling that Srila Prabhupada's appearance to this world was not just an accidental happening. Prabhupada's coming to the West was not just an accidental happening. Prabhupada spreading Krishna consciousness was not just an accidental happening. It was a divine arrangement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted 500 years ago, when people did not even know how many continents are here, Mahaprabhu predicted that in every town and village all over the world, this Krishna consciousness movement would spread. And it was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's divine arrangement that he sent Srila Prabhupada. He not only sent Srila Prabhupada, he planted many of his devotees in the United States, rather in the both South and North America, and Europe, and in various other places, to help Srila Prabhupada, to assist Srila Prabhupada in his mission to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And that's why we saw a miracle happen. Just as Srila Prabhupada came to the West, these devotees just came and assisted Srila Prabhupada to spread this movement all over the world. And undoubtedly, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj is one of them. He was an unusual spiritual personality. In his life, you see, from the very beginning, from his childhood, a very, very special personality. He was attracted to spiritualism from his childhood. Materially, he could have been a very successful person, as Ekaveera Prabhu read out that poetry. Yes, Bhakti Kirti Maharaj could have been a very, very successful individual in one of those many spheres that he mentioned. He could have been a great politician, he could have been a very successful businessman, he could have been a very, very elevated company corporate executive, he could have been a very great spiritual leader, he could have been a great mystic, he could have been a very successful person in any one of these fields. But he came across Srila Prabhupada and his entire life changed. And his life actually was, from that point onwards, the point he came across Srila Prabhupada, his life was actually an offering. And that offering is a display of his gratitude towards Srila Prabhupada that came out so beautifully in this poetry. That his entire life was actually an expression of his gratitude to Srila Prabhupada. And what makes one grateful in this way? It is the purity of heart. What causes the purity of heart? The purity of heart is a manifestation of one's spiritual qualities. Material nature covers the spirit soul, and the spiritual involvement removes those coverings and enhances the spiritual identity. And the most amazing thing that you see in Bhakti Kirti Maharaj's life is his amazing purity. And today, we feel extremely grateful to him for being with us, guiding us, and still inspiring us to become purified in our spiritual endeavor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Secretary Maharaj. Thank you very much. There's so many wonderful pastimes that somehow by Krishna's grace I have been able to hear from my spiritual master, from his godbrothers. I remember he always used to tell me there's no one as humble as this one as Radhanath Swami. He said for Radhanath Swami, it comes naturally. It's not something that, you know, he has to think about. He's naturally like that. He said, I think his mother was like that. I think his father was like that. I think it's just part of just his genes. He always used to say like that. He always admired Srila Radhanath Maharaj's humility. And as well as Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, he always admired Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj's amazing taste for spiritual life. He always would say that Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj is one of such a transcendental person. At the same time, you can experience how to utilize Krishna's energy in ways that things can be very beautiful. His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, he is such an aesthetic person. If you go to his temple in Ujjain, or if you see the samadhi, if you see anything that he's touched, it's absolutely beautiful. And so I remember those things. I remember those things. Thank you very much. And His Holiness, whoa, now I have to change my mood a bit. Sorry. I was invited to MC a wedding, not recently, and I had to have a different mood. So this is the mood that I will take on a little bit, because this is the amazing mood of this wonderful, amazing godbrother of our spiritual master, His Holiness Bhakti Mark Swami. Now
Prabhupada, thank you for those kind words. It's the opposite. I get into the association of great Vaishnavas and I get electrified. That's the truth. So about gratitude. In Srila Prabhupada's movement, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, the leaders have been encouraged to look at succession. Succession means who's going to take over from us guys, the people that have been around for a while. There are people in their 60s, pushing into the 70s, and you're looking at us, okay? And so some of us have been making attempts to see how we can make those transitions. We've been actually asked by coordinators and facilitators of our meetings on the GBC level and other leaders' meetings, who's going to take over from you? Who's going to be doing your work in a few years from now? And they're looking at us with our wrinkles. And some of us have ideas, and some of us are scratching our heads and trying to figure it out. That's true. We have to start working on this. So, at least myself personally, I've been putting some time to the transition and bringing in some younger crop to help, you know, organize our society, at least in Canada. And in the process, something nice takes place. But then it also came to my attention that we can't forget those who've been doing, we can't just kind of shove everybody out of the way to the sides and forget about them. We have to see what they have done, the great accomplishments they've made. And so this is the what I'm scratching my head about right now. How can we properly show and express our gratitude to those devotees? Whether they've been a leader or not, there's a lot of there's even a lot of unsung heroes out there. People have done tremendous sacrifices. The men and the women in our movement have done a lot, and unfortunately some of them are not active right now. They're just not with us. And I don't think we've done enough to reach out to them. And I thought it would be a nice assignment to be taken up by some individuals, at least we start with wishing, dreaming about it, and then maybe something will manifest. But it would be nice to organize and reach out to those great souls who did so many wonderful things, because, and to organize, like say, programs such as this, and hear from them what they went through. And that's, and when you hear about those stories, you'll really start to pour out with emotions and feeling gratitude. So I thought that's one thing that could be done. We need to take some time to look at those people who don't wear saffron. We need to look at those people who are not that busy or not so active in Krishna consciousness, but maybe have been sort of out of the picture for a while, a few years, maybe a couple of decades or three decades or four. I thought that would be nice. And then in terms of gratitude, and I'm sure Bhakti Chaitra Swami would like this, that we really try to dive deep into what chanting Hare Krishna is all about. I've heard many different translations of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We all have opportunities where we speak to different audiences, and so you give a definition in your presentation based on your audience, who they are. But here's one way that you can translate the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and it's really simple. It's so simple. Thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna, Krishna. So, we are grateful that we have been rescued, the last word here, by Srila Prabhupada and all the things that come along with the package deal. And that is chanting the holy name. We saw how Bhakti Tirtha Swami was enthusiastic about kirtan. We knew how hard he worked at kirtan. He would always sweat. He would go in dry, but he would come out wet. And with a big smile, like anything. And I think just reflecting on that alone should get us excited about kirtan, which is at the heart of this movement, the heart of our society, the heart of our culture, and the Yuga Dharma of the age, according to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, just to kind of summarize, going back to what we started from, I think it'd be a great idea to keep doing what you're doing, and also have some forums for bringing in the old guys and gals who did so much, but we don't hear much about them. They didn't write books, maybe. They did. We don't see them very often. We don't hear their names being, let's say, expressed in our communications and dialogues, but it might be good to get back to them. And number two, diving deep into the richness of Krishna's name, the Maha Mantra. And number three, just think about when you saw Bhakti Tirtha Swami in kirtan and how he was like a live wire, and that I should be like that too, and really appreciate chanting Hare Krishna. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Can I say one more thing? It's really important. I think I read about you this morning. You met Maharaj first. If I get it right, if I got my details right. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he was really for taking care of the devotees and, you know, physically, if they were ill, he was invited into the hospices and so on. Very much appreciating what's happened with Raghunath Swami and your aim behind the taking care of the devotees. So that's one aspect. He was very much in the family. And didn't you meet Maharaj when you were not married at the time? You were with your boyfriend? Okay. You were married at the time? Okay. So, he met some of them. Maybe I got the details wrong, but if someone came to him, and like a couple, he'd say, you should get married. So, it was really behind family and those family values. And that's what a lot of people have been talking about lately, right? So in one way, he was kind of ahead of his time, and he brought up issues that we're now pondering and working on. So, you know, he had an incredible vision, you know, to see into the future, to see what needed to be done. So we thank him for that. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. And literally, Maharaj did this research very well, because in His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj's book, Money Moves, he invited Edgar Prabhu and myself to share our story. And in that book, I did share that when I came to Krishna consciousness, I was not married, as Maharaj said. I had just come from Berkeley, California, graduated. I was living with my boyfriend. My boyfriend brought me to the temple, and he told me at the time, there is this Swami, somehow this boyfriend, I was a vegetarian, actually I had a guru, and he told me, he said, I want you to meet the Swami. I really want you to meet the Swami. And I thought, I don't know, I have a guru, da 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 da. And then he took me, it was 55th Street in New York City in 1979, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj just taken sannyas, and he took me to meet him. However, he was crowded with devotees. And I thought, you know, I don't want to stand around and wait to see him. I'll see him at another time. And so we left. And then we went to California. And then Dr. Tirtha Maharaj came there to California, in Los Angeles. That's where we were. And he saw my husband, and he said, at the time my boyfriend, yes. And he said, where are you? What are you doing here? wife, and we're like, no much. we're students, we're graduate students, and he said, you gotta get married. It's the first thing. I don't even know him. Suddenly back to get married, huh? That was the first thing he said. You have to get married, and he arranged our marriage like within a few days. So thank you very much. And actually, when Viraj Maharaj interviewed me in that story, he asked me, are you going to be embarrassed because you're supposed to be this personality representing Bhakti Kirti Maharaj? And I said, Maharaj, that's my life. What can I say? You know, that's what it was like. So the theme of this whole panel of gratitude is, I am thankful because my Guru Maharaj rescued me. I am very, very thankful. So I want to move on to Malati Devi Dasan. I'm coming to Malati because she's most senior, and because I was taught the etiquette, and because I need to do this, if you don't mind. Is that okay? Actually, I needed to start with you, as you are the most senior, if I was really following etiquette properly. However, in Islam, we have different kinds of etiquette sometimes. So, Malati is very loved by Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. I remember when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj invited Malati to come to the institute. That was the first time I met Malati Prabhu. And he instructed us to care for her. He told us, this is my god sister that you and all the devotees here in the institute must care for. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what I am doing. I want you to always be present in your consciousness to care for her. And so over the years, I've come to learn more about Malati Prabhu and learn more about her exalted services to Srila Prabhupada, learn more about her exalted services to all the devotees. And it's just amazing. She's an amazing personality that I've come to learn about from my Guru Maharaj, the greatness that she gives to all of us. All of us. This is an incredible, incredible person in a woman's body. Malati Maharaj.
The reason he instructed them to care for me was because I was so fallen, and he was asking them to help me. And I'm very grateful to him for that. In his little message, he said, when I try to calculate all that you've done for me, I'm bursting with gratitude. So that was Srila Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. And he burst on the scene of Krishna consciousness with love for Srila Prabhupada. And we are grateful to you, Srila Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj, for your unwavering devotion and example of loving Srila Prabhupada and his devotees. And we are grateful to you, Srila Prabhupada, for uncovering this wonderful gem of Ganesham, who became Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. In the material world, we have so many feelings and emotions and moods, etc. And each one of them has its root in the spiritual world. Even Prabhupada was asked, well, what about envy? What about hatred? What about prejudice? Prabhupada said, yes, it is all there. He said that you, in this conditioned form, you cannot understand. There is these attitudes, these moods, these emotions. They don't cause pain, but they cause, they're sources of ecstasy. So we're to speak of gratitude. And gratitude has its origin and its example in Lord Krishna, who was very grateful to the wives of the Brahmanas for ignoring their husband's foolishness and immediately offering Sambhoga to Krishna Balaram. He was grateful to the gopis for immediately ignoring their families and the possible social repercussions for giving dust of their sheep to cure Krishna's headache. And Srila Prabhupada was grateful to all of us, even though we were just many times the source of his headaches. He was grateful and he expressed his gratitude on the occasion of the spiritual master's appearance day by thanking him for sending us to help him in his service to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. So gratitude is a very glorious quality, and no one has exhibited it in such a wonderful way as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. And now I would like to request Mother Bhu Mata, who is actually one of those universal matas. She's actually Krishna Dini's mata. Mother Bhu Mata, when Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj first brought me to Cleveland, I remember meeting Mother Bhu Mata. And she told many, many stories to me at the time about being in Mayapur and her deep affection for Srila Prabhupada. So I would like Mother Bhu Mata to share something about gratitude for us to keep in our hearts.
Hare Krishna. Ki jai. Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada Ki jai. And Ki jai to each of you in here and to all of the devotees all over Mother Earth's dirt on Earth planet. And to all the Christians and all the people who is not against God and Krishna and Jesus and Prabhupada. Because if they are not against them, they are for you. Now, in all of my lifetime, I live to be 18, turn it around. I have yet to meet a person. And I travel all over the world as an evangelist missionary. And I've yet to meet a person like Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada Ki Jai. He is situated in Beatitudes, Gratitudes, Gratitudes. He's that personified to me. And he is... I never heard him some three people that caused me to be I didn't really want to stay here, and that's really true, because it was when I realized I was on the earth, I realized there was something missing, and I was always I couldn't feel satisfied with this cold and personal world, even as a little girl. So, but my mother, three people, Jesus, my mother first, and Jesus and Prabhupada. They were the most, they cared not only for my body, but they cared for my soul. They're all three. It's because of they had the same spirit and quality. But my mother was a minor, and Jesus was a major or marginal, and Prabhupada, he just was ultimate. And he was the most. He taught us both, all three, and all three is one. He taught us how to meet, in particular, how to be content with such as I am and such as I have from day to day. And be content with whatever Radha, Krishna, Vishnu, Mother, Father, God bless us with. And be thankful, be grateful, and here's the most grateful personified. I never heard either my mother or Jesus complain or criticize or condemn. Never in my whole life. And I, without these three, I had no will to live. I mean, I really didn't want to stay here at 3 or 4. It was somewhere I had come from somewhere, a lower place, and I was longing and seeking to get back there. And I didn't know why I was here. And I never was able to take refuge in anything except the spirit of my mother, who had Jesus Christ, and the spirit of Jesus Christ. He invested his spirit in me. He appeared to me in person several times. Jesus, I saw in his eyes and all. Krishna appeared at 157 20 Euclid Avenue when there was extreme prejudice. They threw us out of the temple. Krishna appeared. He took the bat from the policeman or whoever. He took it from me and I found it in my hand. I had nothing. I didn't even move. And he struck the prejudice out of Utalami. And ever since then, gradually, they overcome. They sent for us, me in particular, and sent my fair 40 years later. And they said they wanted me to tell the story. Us, Krishnadi and I, of being a pioneer. And we told the story. About 1,000 people repented, and they cried on our shoulder, and they made me welcome back home like the prodigal son. And I don't want to get to the spiritual. Those three, Prabhupada, I tell in my prayers every day. I don't want to live without, when I offer food to Prabhupada, I offer to Jesus and to my mother through Prabhupada. And I don't want to get to the spiritual sky without seeing those three. I look forward to it. And he put me on archives, Prabhupada. He said that you're a good lady and a good devotee. So I need y'all's prayers because I'm ready to do everything, and my prayer now is just to claim the rapture and go back, come back in the cell, within the cell. And that I offer my praise to my guru and Jesus and my mother. Namaham Sri Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasaya, Bhutale, Sri Mate Bhaktivedanta Swami. Etanamane, Namaste, Sarasvate, Devi, Gurbani, Prachami, Nurvishesha, Sanyavadi, Praskatya, Desatarne, Kisha. Thank you, Dr. Prabhupada. And the last prayer we have to all those who are all the devotees and all those that Jesus and Prabhupada and Krishna.
Thank you very much, Prabhupada. This way, many of us were brought to Krishna consciousness through our family gurus or through our different mentors in many different ways, different spiritual teachers. So Mother Bhumata was brought to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet through Jesus Christ and through the love of her mother. Thank you very much. Yes, Srimati Radharani Ki Jai. So, Prabhu, I always remember you by your smile. This is our uncle, and his name is Antariksha Prabhu. Antariksha, sometimes I don't always get names, but I get energy, I get the mood, the attitude of a person. And Antariksha Prabhu has always been someone that I have seen that encourages the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he's the Srila Prabhupada disciples, and those grand disciples. I have always seen him encourage us just through a smile. He's always giving such an amazing, heart-connecting smile, without words. And sometimes the So I want to thank you very much for being here with us today. And if you would please kindly share a few words of gratitude, how we can practice gratitude in our lives.
It's a great honor to be here. I've heard so many wonderful things already about gratitude. Mata here, though, singing the glories of her mother, made me think of this story. I know it's probably not exactly accurate, but the gist of it is that Prabhupada one time had to correct some of his disciples. He's hearing that they weren't too grateful to their parents. My parents eat meat, Prabhupada. They're this, they're that, you know. Prabhupada says, you should always honor your parents. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have you. So we can be grateful, very grateful for our parents. And actually be grateful for everything. Maharaj was pointing out how we're in mundane consciousness. Very easy to be grateful. I've been honored. I've got something I've worked hard for. But in spiritual consciousness, we can actually be very grateful. We can be more grateful for difficulties. I was hearing recently, I had a very nice Islamic friend, and he sent me this quote. He says, within our most greatest difficulties, we find our greatest gems. It's kind of what Pallava Maharaj teaches. He teaches that, Maharaj is pointing out, within a day's time, he was experiencing more difficulties than a lot of us experience in many lifetimes. Yet he was always grateful. So many stories of gratefulness. And I think of Bhaktivedanta. It's like there's this wonderful quote here. When I try to calculate all that you've done for me, I am bursting with gratitude. But above all, Sri Prabhupada, I thank you for arranging my rescue. That last part there, thank you for arranging my rescue. Nothing happens by chance. Everybody here, we're here for a purpose, a deep purpose. We're all eternal. We're all eternal. That's a long time. Even material time is a long time. We're eternal. And here we are, so close to when Lord Chaitanya sent us Srila Prabhupada. So one of the things I'm thinking in closing here real short is that Bhaktivedanta always said, don't take for granted who you're with ever. Anytime, ever, because that might be the last person you're with in this lifetime. So that's such a great instruction, such a great idea to meditate upon, to always appreciate, who we're dealing with. We're dealing with Krishna. We're dealing with parts and parcels of Krishna. All of us. We're all parts and parcels of Krishna. So we should always try to be in an attitude of gratitude. And that way, we never take for granted anything that happens to us, anybody that we're around. Bhaktivedanta, by his life, loves that so clearly.
I don't think Mother Krishna Nandini needs an introduction in Cleveland, because I used to say to His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj that you are my Guru Maharaj. You are the leadership. You are this love. You are this leader in action. You are all of those things that you write about. And so Mother Krishna Nandini, she is like Cleveland. She is Cleveland in action. She is inspiring many devotees in Cleveland and actually all over the world. As like His Holiness Bhakti Maharaj said, she and her husband are inspiring devotees to keep this bond of marriage very tight and very focused on the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. And that's a great endeavor, especially during Kali Yuga times. And that's just a part of what Mother Krishna Nandini does. It's a very important part of her service.
However, a major part of her service is actually being a daughter to Mother Gumata. She's an amazing daughter. She takes care of Mother Gumata, and Mother Gumata is living with her and her family, and every day Mother Krishnandini is there with her mom, taking care of her mom. So many times we see in the world that when, as people age, the tendency is to put them away somewhere. But no, Mother Krishnandini is being that example for so many by having her mom just with her so she can take care of her. She's also an amazing mother. She has 10 children that she has nurtured. And I don't mean just nurtured. She has trained them. She has taught them. They were homeschooled, many of them. Now many of them are graduating from the best universities in the world here in America. They're like amazing graduates. And it's just, you know, she has the best of both worlds because she actually was initiated by Srila Prabhupada and she was also initiated by His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami. So from the mother of two worlds, please say some words of gratitude. She's also the organizer of bringing everybody here together. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you. So I want to say our words to Srila Prabhupada, our words to His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Swami, for my beloved guides and gurus throughout eternity. I want to say our words to my mother, Gumata Devi Dasi, who raised me to want to know God and serve God. And our words to all my God brothers and God sisters sitting on this panel. And our words to you. All of you have, you know, done the austerity to be here with us today. So I was thinking about this attitude of gratitude, and three things came to mind. Number one is, in the Nectar of Devotion, when it is described, when Rupa Goswami describes Krishna's quality of being grateful, he gives the example that Krishna is grateful because Draupadi called him out of desperation. And I really had to meditate on that, think about that. You know, I'm always calling on the Lord every little thing. My husband says, Krishnandini, do you have to call on Krishna for everything? I said, yes. And so the fact that God is grateful that we call on him, that is so special to me. So that comes to mind. And the second thing is that just being aware that Krishna is doing everything helps me to be grateful, even though it's a hard lesson sometimes, because as Maharaj said, sometimes we can know that when God is doing good by us, good times, good friend, good experience, we can say, Jai Shri Krishna, isn't Krishna great? But what about those times when it's not, doesn't feel so good, doesn't look so good, it feels kind of painful, do we still say, Jai Shri Krishna? So Pralhad Maharaj said, Jai Shri Krishna, in the pain. His father, Hiranyakashipu, was torturing him, teasing him. Prabhupada used that word, torturing and teasing so much. And Prabhupada just said, this is my Krishna. For some reason, Krishna has arranged that I have this experience. It must be good. And he totally accepted that. So that was really an attitude of gratitude. And finally, my third point would be that sometimes just burst out in song. You know, we have to think about how kind Krishna is, the sun, the moon, all the varieties, all the people. And when I was growing up, we used to sing this song. I thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna. I thank you, Lord, because you brought me. Yes, you brought me. You brought me from a mighty long way. Well, 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 I thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna. You've been my mother, you've been my father, you've been my shelter in times of storm. Yes, you brought me, oh yes, you brought me, you brought me from a mighty long way. Well, well, well. Thank the Lord. Thank Prabhupada. Thank Krishna Pai. And that's my thoughts about gratitude.
program that's happening this weekend. We thank you for that. Thank you very much. And now we'd like to ask His Holiness Bhakti Vasudeva Swami. He's a disciple of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami, recently, not too long ago, initiated in the Sannyas Order, which means that he's taken on responsibility, commitment on behalf of Srila Prabhupada's mission. And so we would like to request Bhakti Vasudeva Maharaj, who actually is a scholar. He actually speaks in many universities around the country. He's a scholar of, what is the title? It's such a long title. Leadership and Organizational Change. I've heard a longer title at different times. Leadership and Organizational Change. So he has his PhD, and he's a very educated soul, materially educated soul, but a very deep soul spiritually. And so we request you, Marge, on behalf of our spiritual master, to please share some words of gratitude.
In relation to appreciative thinking and gratitude and amazing.
today, Maharaj, has brought us down to this one and one, one and zero equal one. So each person, we are always in gratitude to each other, which is always showing this appreciation. And I actually thought that this time we wanted to thank all of our exalted aunties and uncles and aunties, for sharing these amazing words of wisdom to help us as we go on from here into the different environments, that we can have this in our hearts about how we can carry on the mission of Srila Prabhupada in deep gratitude. At the same time, I would like to take one brief moment of all of your time to extend your gratitude to your spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada's disciples, and we would like to say this mantra of Srila Bhakti Siddhartha. So if you look at the top of your page this spiritual warrior meditation, and those, I would like to request those disciples of His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj to please stand up, please, if you wouldn't mind. From all of the disciples here, we thank you very much for coming together with us as a family. This means so much to our Guru Maharaj, to His Holiness Bhakti Siddhartha Maharaj, and to us as a family that is actually speaking to the world. We want us to be united in a way that we can be together and show our gratitude to Srila Radhanath Maharaj. Those stay standing. The disciples of His Holiness Bhakti Siddhartha Maharaj, will you please stand up? Just please stay standing. We want to thank you for being here, supporting this amazing event that has been vision. It's a vision that has come. Because, you know, as Bhakti Marg Maharaj said, some of you out here will be the ones that are carrying on Srila Prabhupada's mission. And so Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is always preparing us in this way. So from all the disciples of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, we thank you very much for coming together as a family. Thank you. Disciples of His Holiness Bhakti Marg Swami, Kastubha Prabhu, I know you're here. If there's any other disciples, please stand. Kastubha is serving. This devotee has been serving the whole time. And I know he's out there serving. And so in unison, will everybody stand? Because we're all ultimately grand disciples of Srila Prabhupada. We're all ultimately disciples. And if we can all say together this prayer of His Holiness Bhakti Siddhartha Swami, please, Srila Prabhupada disciples, please sit. I'm asking the other grand disciples. Please sit. So I'm asking the grand disciples in your heart, as we say this prayer, please meditate on your spiritual masters. And please meditate on how we can keep this prayer in our heart, and that we can go forward from here in this keeping this mood of gratitude in all that we do. So if we can say this together. And as an offering to Srila Prabhupada. This is in the front page. Yes, we can say it together. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Malati Devi Prabhu, thank you. Guru Maza Prabhu, thank you. Thank you very much. And we thank all of you. Thank you. Please take a break. We'll come back to hear from His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj. Yes, of course. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Parvati, you got it. She got it. The next thing is His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj speaking.